Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and myself, Jonas Knox. Make sure you catch us live weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So you give him an A for effort. Unfortunately, it was not quite enough. We will tell you who that is coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington. It's Brady Quinn. It's Jonas Knox with you here on Fox Sports Radio. You can listen to the show on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates. And wherever you are making us a part of your Monday morning, we appreciate you doing so. We take you all the way up through the end of the hour, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on FSR. And guys, for our friends that are waking up with us here, getting ready to start their week in Los Angeles on the Blowtorch, AM 570 yeah. LA Sports.
Morning,
LA. Look forward to.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the LA Rams. Yeah, we're gonna skip right past what happened with the Dodgers.
Chargers. Why?
Listen, we don't need to talk about that. I mean, it's I'm not trying to twist the knife for Dodger fans.
Well,
here.
Things happen. Well,
what about USC? Yeah, we can talk about that too. They got that to.
I'm
what
trying
about
not
UCLA?
To. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's been a rough.
I was trying.
Hey, at least you got Gavin Newsom as your governor, though.
That is a good point. Yes, that is a good point. Masks on, everybody. Now, here's
the bodysuits.
Kanye mask.
Can we give the Detroit Lions at least an A for effort? I mean, can they get a win just based on effort?
Oh, just because they really covered? Tried. Get out of here with that.
No, not even that. Not even that. When you open up the game
with fake,
when you go onside kick and then fake punt. You literally are emptying the chamber trying to get a win. And I think they did it for their quarterback, Jared Goff, in his return. And I feel bad for Jared Goff. I feel bad for the Detroit Lions. And I would like it scratched from the record books. I think the Lions won that game. I think that was the first win of the Dan Campbell era in Detroit.
Yeah, it doesn't work
that
way. Nah.
It should, based on effort
alone.
Ain't
no moral victories, right? Nah. I mean, they did cover, if that matters.
Yeah,
which it
damn
did
right
to
it
me
matters.
Because, I can't seem to pick that team right, for the love of God. Hmm. Every other week, they decide to cover, stay close in a game, then the next week they don't. I can't figure it out. I know they're not going to win many games. It's just about whether or not they're going to cover these enormous spreads that they're always a part of. It is the hardest team to figure out gambling. But yeah, it was good effort. I mean, they made a couple of fake punts in that one.
Yeah, how miserable is it in that locker room right now? LeVar, if you had to just paint the picture in the Detroit locker room.
Oh,
right
thanks.
Now, I'm just saying.
I've experienced 0-5, so I can tell you.
Paint the picture, please.
Here's the thing about locker rooms, right? There's different areas. It's almost like if you went to a city and you see it being revitalized in some areas, there's dilapidated properties, and other areas there's project properties, and then there's just high-end properties. Depending on where you're at real estate-wise, in a locker room could determine what the feeling is in that locker room. I don't know that there's ever an overall arcing, this is the feeling of the locker room. You're going to have what the vets are thinking and what they're feeling. Then you're going to have what the younger guys are feeling, and then the in-between. When we were 0-5, when we were at, I guess, when we got to the fifth game, because we're far enough into the season. So when we got to that fifth game and we hadn't won a game yet, there was just a whole lot of doubt and waning belief in the coaching staff. You start to complain about, scheduling, You know, why are we practicing so long? Why are we doing all of this? Why are we repping out all this stuff? All we're going to do is go out there and lose anyway. And then you got the other guys that are like, man, we got to rep it out more. We got to bring more intensity to the practice field. We got to make sure we're paying attention to the details in the meeting room. Like, we're just not doing things the way that we need to do them in order to be able to win. Then there's the complainers. We work out too hard. So we're not, we don't have our legs. We're beat down. We're beat to death. So we can't fairly compete against the other teams that are beating us. There's just a whole myriad of a ton of opinions that kind of, you know, circulate through the locker room. But ultimately, you find yourself trying to figure out really what is next. Can we get that win? Because we always say in the meeting rooms, we would always say, look, guys, the first win is the hardest win. Let's try to get to that first win. And that was kind of – that became the overarching, I guess, messaging of what we were taking into every single game was, let's get one win. If we can get one win, then maybe we can make it work. And we ran off five in a row. So after that 0-5 start, we won against Carolina, and then we ran off four more after that and made history. So it could go either way, but you know, there is a lot of confusion, a lot of different feelings, the emotions that are in the locker room when you're losing like this.
Oh yeah, I mean it's not good. I mean my first year with Eric Mangini, his first year there in Cleveland, my last year. I mean, we started off 0-4, and we beat Buffalo in a game that, I mean, it was bad. Like, you wanted to gouge your eyes out. And I remember, like, and at that point, they had benched me. And I remember watching, and mind you, the ending score was 6-3. All right, we were in Buffalo. DA passed for 22 yards in that game. It was windy, but it was like, it was so bad. I think he threw a pick on like two completions, but Roscoe Parrish botched a punt in his own territory. And that was what set up our game winning field goal to win 6-3. But like the feelings in general were, all right, right out the gate, the way we had played. Now, granted, we had played a tough schedule. Like, it was, you know, Brett Favre's first game, as a Minnesota Vikings team. So that's who he hosted. And Adrian Peterson went off for, I think he had like, I don't know, over 200 yards rushing or whatever it was that game. It had a big game against us. Then we played the Denver Broncos out in Denver, that was the year they started off 6-0, had that hot start. And clearly we were right in the middle of that buzzsaw. And then got absolutely hammered by the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. So it was just a rough start to the year for us. And you already got the scent, like, we're young. We don't have many playmakers right now. Our offensive line is trying to gel. It's a new system, first-time play caller, all these things. And so there's so many young guys, like, they're not sure how to handle it. We just knew it was like, we're not going to win many football games. Like, this is a week-to-week thing. We can't afford to focus outside or ahead of because we're not good enough. Like, when people talk about trap games, you know how you can look ahead to, like, a better opponent or something like that? When you're not good, you never look ahead. Like, you don't look at anything but, like, that day and how I can get better that day and hope that if I string together a number of days, by the end of the week, maybe we're good enough to get a win. Like, that's the reality of it. So
that's called denial.
When you ask, like, what the mood is in the locker room, it's just like, yeah, we can't afford to care about what our plans are Thursday night. Like, sorry, I'm just trying to get better Wednesday. Because right now, our better, it's not good enough.
Mm. Okay, let me ask you this. If they don't make the trade and Matt Stafford is still in Detroit, do they have a win yet this season? Because I'm going to say no.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so.
And so that's why I don't
it's
like...
debatable.
Well, I feel bad. I feel bad for Jared Goff in this regard. Not just because he's in a bad situation.
Their stats, like, that's relevant, right?
It's just like the part that bothers me is people make it seem like, well, the reason the Rams are having all this success is because Matt Stafford came. Man, they won a lot of games with Jared Goff as their quarterback. So this idea that it's just the quarterback swap that is the difference, I just don't buy it. And so seeing Jared Jared Goff say goodbye to everybody and give a little hug to Sean McVay. He's going to be looking around going, dude, I'm going to be the fall guy for all this, when clearly, if you look at the roster I'm on, if Matt Stafford were on that same roster, I don't think it makes a damn bit of difference. I don't think they're winning a game with Matt Stafford at quarterback. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I mean, maybe not. I don't know, but I know we would be splitting hairs because it probably would be one game that we would be debating if they had won by now.
Right.
So, I mean, but with that being said, this Rams team is a really good team, and they did win a lot of games with Jared Goff at quarterback. And Jared Goff had success at the position as well, which made it very debatable in terms of what do you do moving forward with him. But again, when you look at what Matthew Stafford brings to the table, he does improve this team. He is, whether people like it or not, he is an upgrade to the position. And honestly, if they can stay healthy and they can, in some cases, be able to run the ball effectively, this is a team that, if they were to make it back to the Super Bowl, a lot of it would be because of the play of Matthew Stafford. If they were to win the Super Bowl, I would say you would have to lob a lot of that to the feet of Matthew Stafford. And so, to me, I think that he is a difference maker for this team. And I think he does give them a little bit more in terms of being able to be that contender to possibly win the Super Bowl.
The NFC playoffs are going to be so damn fun this year.
Well,
there are so many good teams in the NFC right now.
Yeah, you know, there are. I mean, I think you're going to see
high end.
I mean, at this point, Arizona, LA, I mean, someone's going to win that. Arizona's got the edge, but I'm waiting to see if they can, stay on. You know, Green Bay, Tampa, et cetera. The wild card round's not going to be fun. I don't know how many teams will be able to compete. Maybe we'll see some upsets. I want to go back to that conversation, though, about Goff and Stafford, because you can make this conversation both ways in the sense that if Stafford was there, would they win a game? Yeah, I don't know, maybe a game. I'm not sure which one you want to point to. Baltimore was kind of close, or, where does he bring them back? But Goff already made it to a Super Bowl.
True.
Regardless of how they got there, you can go to the New Orleans conversation and whether or not he deserved to be there with that, play. They got there. They won an NFC title. If Stafford doesn't during his time there, is this not viewed as a failure?
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
I think the unfortunate part is both ways. It's unfortunate that people keep comparing the two like their situations are the same, and they're not. They're not even close to the same. And I think it's also unfortunate that that's what's weighing on Matt Stafford's shoulders. And as much as it's a challenge, and as much as that's why he wanted to go there, that's why it all worked out, so that they can go to a Super Bowl and win one. If he doesn't, and some of that takes luck, it's all on him. And it's a little bit unfair, only because even though, I think maybe he's a slight upgrade to the position, I don't know if it's as big as we want to make it, but it's going to take their defense to get some stops. We had this conversation about Patrick Mahomes earlier, and look at the position that he's in right now, playing with a defense that's just been atrocious. I mean, so some of this, it's not going to fall on Matt Stafford yet. He's the one that has to kind of wear that crown. He has to carry that for the Rams this year. So I think it goes both ways as far as the evaluation, though, because Goff already got him to a Super Bowl. It's about now whether or not Stafford can do that and if they can win one.
I would say that Matthew Stafford is just fine with that versus the alternative. So, I mean,
well, yeah, everyone would be. I mean, would you rather be on a team that's in competition or of a Super Bowl, right, or one that's not even have a win right now?
Call me a failure. I'd rather have my opportunity to be a winner than to just be a failure. I mean, because that's really all he has in Detroit if he stays there.
The question really becomes if he was going to get paid less for that opportunity. Like, if you're making $40 million a year and you're on the Lions, which that's not what Goff is making, but he's making a good amount, versus half that to go have a chance to go win one. That's the real predicament you'd be in, is how do you want to go about handling that, right?
Yeah.
Because when Uncle Sam comes, guess what? That $40 million goes to 20, but that $20 million goes to 10. 19. It's a different story.
Yeah.
It's two pros and a cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com. Nielsen.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. All right, so coming up next, we could have a bidding war. A bidding war in the NFL for one player. We'll tell you which teams are involved. That's next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up later on this hour, if you think you know a lot about Halloween candy, you got nothing. You got nothing on somebody in the world of football. We'll have that for you here later this hour on Fox Sports Radio. Guys, apparently we've got ourselves, if you believe the rumors, a potential bidding war for Deshaun Watson. And a lot of this stuff has been sparked up because I don't know if anybody has happened to take in the Sam Darnold experience there, Brady Quinn in Carolina. But oof, this looks awfully familiar based on the start to Sam Darnold's career when it came to the New York Jets.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. He got off to such a good start this season, and then returning to MetLife this past week, it looked like he had that Jets uniform back on. He really struggled. And just, I mean, making some poor decisions. And that's one of the things that, I'm surprised it's followed him the way it has in the NFL. And he's got, you know, opportunities to check the ball down or take your easy pass when you go back and watch it on tape.
There you go.
And he's just not doing it. So I don't really get the disconnect. I would have thought by now he would have learned his lesson in some of that. But, you know, maybe he feels like they need to press a little bit. I'm not sure against the Giants that's always the case or some of the other opponents. But he's struggled, man. So, yeah, I think Carolina and David Tepper, who's a new owner there and is aggressive, I think they might all of a sudden be in the mix to throw some lines out there and see maybe what the Texans would be willing to bite in order to get Deshaun Watson.
And you're right. I mean, it's the forcing it downfield. I mean, it's been highlighted. He has throws that are there and readily available for him to have success on these drives. I think also you got to make mention of the fact that he doesn't have Christian McCaffrey right now. That makes a tremendous difference, both in the running game and being able to utilize him in the passing game. I think that's maybe his blanket to him being a Linus in this scenario. I'd be interested to see how he plays once Christian McCaffrey comes back, and I'd be interested to see how long Christian McCaffrey can stay healthy, because I think that's the catalyst of the success of this offense. So if you're looking at it from the standpoint of you want to have that catalyst shift and be something different, then now you're looking at a Deshaun Watson. It makes me wonder, in terms of off-field, what is being discussed in terms of where things are at currently with the cases with Deshaun Watson? If these conversations are heating up and the rumors are sparking up, there's something there. There's always, if you historically look at when rumor mills get started, there's something that is percolating. So I'm curious as to, we haven't heard, at least I haven't heard, maybe it's my ignorance, I haven't heard where things are as of late with Deshaun Watson and what's going on with these suits that he has against him. I'm curious as if he's getting to the end in terms of, I accept the fact that I may have to do certain things that maybe in the beginning I did not want to do if I'm going to be able to continue my career and possibly continue it this season.
Well, it sounds like the hanging point for not getting a settlement was he wants everything to be out there and, like, publicized. A lot of times when you settle, that stuff gets locked up and never seen again. And that might be something where he might have to settle without everyone getting to see maybe what the correspondence was between him and these individuals, the accusers. And so it would be interesting to see, because I do think they were close maybe at one point, but that went away. And you got to be careful, because I think he understands his legacy, his reputation, all that is what's up in the air.
Yep.
And the only way to truly clear it is let the process, you know, go through, let everything come to the surface, and then be able to clear his name. And I think, he might feel like, hey, look, I did nothing wrong here. And if he does feel that way, that's how he'd have to play it out. Unfortunately, it might just be harder for him then to be able to get on a football field until that sorts itself out.
I'm a little skeptical on the Carolina rumor as far as being interested in Deshaun Watson. And here's why I say this. We talked about Washington and why it didn't make sense for Deshaun Watson in Washington because of all the stuff they got going on. If you bring in Deshaun Watson, it makes it seem like you're not reading the room with everything else that's going on.
It might actually cause a distraction, though, to what you have, too.
That's a good point.
The other way of kind of looking at it, right?
Yeah, when you bring in a guy who's got 22 lawsuits against him from women, massage therapist, and that's
it's
a distraction.
Like, what happened to those emails? Like, what were we talking about?
never mind that.
Somebody might think that's the perfect marriage.
The reason I ask is Carolina, when Jerry Richardson was forced to sell the team, you know, there was sexual harassment, there was some racial stuff there. Like, it was a bad look. And even though they have a new owner, do you think that they really want to bring on, after trying to get past all the stuff they went through with Jerry Richardson, even though it's a new owner, and yes, he's aggressive, do you think they really want to bring on this Deshaun Watson?
Yes, they want to win. I think they look at it and say, hey, we moved on, new owner, new culture, new environment. I mean, you can sell that. The NFL, here's the truth. Deshaun Watson is one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
Yes.
Is it best for the league that he's not playing right now?
No.
Of course not. I just gave you an example now, by the way, of 2 weeks in a row. You've got nine of the 13 games after Sunday Night Football, or 12 so far that have been played. We still have Monday Night Football. 9 of the 12, okay? 75% of the games that were played this weekend were double-digit victories. Is that healthy for the league as far as parity? Is it healthy if I'm a fan of one of those teams that's just dominating, I can just go to the beach or I can go wherever I need to go because I know they're going to win. It's only the gamblers or people who have money on it or maybe some fantasy folks who need to watch. Like, it's not must-see TV if I'm not concerned whether my team's going to win or not every single week. And so that's been the case now the past 2 weeks in the NFL. There's been that big of a disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And so I think when you've got a quarterback who can make a difference, whether it's on the Carolina Panthers or the Dolphins or anywhere else, what's best for the league if he's on the field? And so the reality is there's still the legal process that needs to take place. But I would think that the NFL wants to work in conjunction with these teams, with Deshaun Watson, with all parties involved, to see what exactly was done and how they could get him back on the field, because that's what's best for the league.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be
sticky
interesting to see how this trade deadline fast approaching on November 2nd. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. They come to the Breeders' Cup from every corner of the globe. The best thoroughbreds from around the world with one goal in mind, the title of world champion. Visit BreedersCup.com/2021 for more information and catch all the action live on November 5th and 6th. Coming up next here on FSR.
Is that NBA All-Star Weekend?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
Not quite yet.
I'm sorry.
Different reads.
Yeah.
Well done. That is a can we get a round of applause for LeVar Arrington? Way to slip it in there, sir.
Yeah,
way to slip it in.
And more than one way.
Well done. Job well done. Yeah, a little bit of
that might have went over people's heads too, but if you caught it, that is pretty funny.
Nobody on this crew.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, this is that's
all
what
righty,
it's
then.
It's set right in our lap.
Coming up in, we'll call it 15 minutes from now, there's a unique post-game sound from a head coach that you have never heard before. We will get to that here coming up again 15 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. Guys, it was a few weeks back that the San Francisco 49ers were sitting at 2-0. They were looking good, feeling good about things, and then all of a sudden the last four games happened. They've lost four straight. They lose in a wet, just mess of a game last night on Sunday Night Football to the Indianapolis Colts, and afterwards their head coach Kyle Shanahan spoke about the situation.
I'm pretty down on there right now. I mean, losing four games in a row, you know, it's been a month, and that's tough. I told the guys they got to be tough-minded. They got to stick together. I think we got guys with high character in there. I think we got good enough football players, and we got to handle whatever we're going to get, and we got to come back and play better next week for Chicago.
You're getting some scrutiny here. you think you deserve it?
Yeah, you lose four games in a row. I'm the head coach of this team. I expect it, and I deserve it.
The good news is they get another bye week at Chicago next week. So I think
wow.
feel good about
that's
it.
That's pretty funny.
Well, I'm just saying.
You're not wrong.
I thought we had a bye week against Illinois, so let's not give free passes to Chicago. You know?
Let's call their season what it is. Let's do this and call their season what it is. They beat two what are bad football teams. They opened with Detroit. They beat them. Probably shouldn't have been as close as it was. But granted, on the road, and give Jared Goff and the Lions some credit. They then follow up back-to-back weeks on the road. They play Philly, and Philly, you know, win that by a score. That was probably closer than it needed to be. And then they've lost. They lost a close one to Green Bay at home, Seattle, a Russell Wilson-led Seattle team, not, you know, what we're going to see tonight. And then, look, they lose on the road. They've got Trey Lance as their starter, a rookie. I mean, it's not like they've really been dealt the best hand. I think they've lost to some good football teams. They've beaten some bad football teams. But this was the one that I was like, all right, now I'm a little concerned. Because you had a bye week to prepare for it. You're at home. You got your quarterback back in Jimmy Garoppolo. And as sloppy of a game as it was, you just couldn't really figure it out. I mean, I think that's the concern moving forward is they're obviously out of the divisional race in the NFC West. It now becomes like if you had to bet on a team right now to be a wild card team in the playoffs that's got a losing record, this would probably be my pick. I mean, I know it's been a bad month for them, but I think when you look at the rest of their schedule and they've got, you know, some teams lined up, like they go to Jacksonville, for example. We got the Bears this week. I think at Texans, you know, week 17, like they've still got some wins on there, some relatively easy wins for them. I still think they could very well be a playoff team when it's all said and done.
See, not me. I don't see them as a wild card. I don't see them as a contender. I don't see them making
it. They're not contending.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Well, even contending for a playoff.
Well, I'll ask you this then: who are your wild card teams? Because you're going to get one out of the NFC.
Yeah.
Outside of that, who else are you looking at?
Oh man,
I would think, excuse me.
Out of the NFC West.
No, not NFC West.
I would say like the Saints. I think the Saints would be
we got three spots.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, if we were picking one and I had to choose one that I'd say is a lock to possibly be a wild card guy, I'd throw the Saints in there. Okay. And then if we're looking at it from a total whole perspective, probably the Rams. And if we got to go
That's
for
two. We need
right,
one more.
So if we're going to go for one more,
Minnesota, Atlanta.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. So here's what I'm putting out there for you.
I don't know.
Those are your options. Atlanta, Minnesota, and then whoever else you want to throw in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that third one would be up for grabs. I don't know. I just think they all suck from those other teams that I just named. It's like I don't even care. Like who?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Listen, there's a reason why the Bears, who are the seventh seed in the NFC, were the Nickelodeon game in the postseason last year. Like there's a reason for that because nobody was really expecting much from them. The Jimmy Garoppolo stuff, like Shanahan said after the game, something along the lines of, you know, I would expect him to be the starting quarterback. What are their other options? I mean, Trey Lance is banged up. It just feels like there's something that's amiss with the team. I know they've been banged up. I know they've been dealt bad luck injury-wise, but in that division, Brady, I think they're clearly the worst team in that division. When Russell Wilson gets back, I trust Seattle way more than I trust San Francisco in that division.
Yeah, I think you trust them because of Russell. You know, there's really no other reason, though.
No,
I mean, that's the only reason is his ability with Lockett and Metcalf.
He's Mr. Unlimited, too.
Well, we're going to see him tonight, though. We get to see him. But we'll see him before the game.
A little pat and go before the game. That'll be a lot of fun.
That's you do a little pat and go before the show.
Ew. So.
Damn right I do.
Ew.
Damn right.
Horrible.
Doesn't mean the same thing to us, LeVar, as it does to Jones. That's for sure.
I get it.
Absolutely.
I get
not.
It.
Boss
Hogg. He pats Boss Hogg before he gets into doing the show.
Well, the only way I'm passing Boss Hogg is if I get a shovel. So let's.
you know, just and, be clear
and
about
just
that.
keep in mind the Chicago Bears, as bad as we S on them, right?
They're 3-4 right now.
They're better. They have a better record than the San Francisco 49ers.
They played one more game. I mean, because we'll see them score off this week, and then that's where San Fran gets to 3-4, and we go, oh, okay.
Yeah. By the way,
if they get to the same record as the Chicago Bears, you know what we'll be saying? They have the same record as the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and back in the day, when Sunday Ticket first came out, there used to be the one game every week that was in standard def. They just didn't have the ability to have every game in HD. I can assure you, the game that would be in standard def would be Chicago San Francisco this week. Mm. I can assure you, I can guarantee you that. I don't even need to look at the rest of the schedule. All right, it is two pros and a cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up next, you talk about a post-game sound from a football coach like you've never heard before. We'll have it for you next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. If you missed any of this show, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com after we are off the air. And we will be back on the air coming up tomorrow, same time, same place, 6 a.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on FSR. Right now, though, it is time to put a bow on this bad boy with something we do every single day, and it's called this.
You moron. How could you not get to these stories?
You moron.
These are the scraps.
And for that, we turn it over to our executive producer, the superstar himself, the one and only Lee DeLapp. Lee, what the hell do we miss so far?
You guys, earlier this weekend, Mississippi State routed Vanderbilt 45-6. And after the game, Mike Leach gave his thoughts on Halloween candy to the SEC Network. Listen to what he said.
We talked about on the broadcast how you hate candy corn. What's your favorite Halloween
candy game? Corn. I mean, I completely hate candy corn. When I was a kid, well, gummy bears, let's see. Gummy bears for sure.
Sour or regular?
The Haribo. It's got to be the Haribo ones. And then the other thing I like is when they used to have the sprees in a box. Outstanding. You have to go to the dollar store to find it, but I do. And then the latest, you know, there's still candy innovation, although a while back I found that Europe had better candy than we did overall because they have gummy everything. And then, you know, they have those Nerds clusters, which is new.
The gummy.
Yeah, which is good. The Nerds clusters is good. And then if you go chocolate, probably Almond Joy.
Love yeah. it. Hopefully you'll get yeah. some of that next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you.
Okay. By the way, that's not an act, right? He's really interested in talking about random stuff.
Yes.
That's him.
I love Mike.
I'm an Airheads guy, personally. I love Airheads. Oh. I almost choked on a Jolly Rancher. I love Jolly Ranchers, but one time a kid fell out of their chair while we were in class, and I started laughing really hard, and the Jolly Rancher got caught in my throat,
really?
And I almost choked to death. So, yeah, true story.
God, I feel like that's immediate karma, huh?
It was immediate, bro. It was immediate. I was laughing, and that joint slipped right into my throat, started choking me out. Couldn't talk, couldn't ask for help. I ran to a water fountain and it dissolved down before I passed out.
Wow.
True story.
I'm the type of dork that's like always been way too analytical. I've always thought about that with Jolly Ranchers. I'm like, man, there's a downside risk. Like, as good as that tastes, there's some downside there.
Yeah, there's downside.
You might just choke and die.
It's possible.
Why do you think they call them lifesavers? All right? They're donutted out.
Yeah.
They're donutted out.
So you can't choke
and die.
You can't choke on them.
Damn That's right. why Jonas likes them.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Absolutely.
There's another reason why he likes them holes.
Yeah,
in them.
That's true. Okay. It's pretty yeah. snug.
The turkey hole.
Yeah,
that's a
good point.
Is it?
Okay. Well, for some people. Yeah. All right, Lee, what else we got?
You guys, we witnessed history as Tom Brady threw the 600th touchdown pass against the Bears. Yeah, I know what you're going to say, Brady. And, of course, Mike Evans gave away that touchdown football to a lucky fan wearing the number 13. Unfortunately, he might not be too lucky because he was talked into giving the football back. Auctioneers Ken Golden at Golden Auctions estimates it could go north of $500,000.
I mean, what are you doing,
I wonder how much the real 600 touchdown
football All right,
football
okay, get this off your chest, please. Or else
I just think it's the dumbest thing in the world. Like, we've got to compare regular season versus regular season instead, not total touchdown. Like, Tom Brady's already thrown in the NFL more than 600 total touchdown passes. He's already done that, folks. I hate to break it to you. It's just you have to include his postseason, which last time I checked, I'm pretty sure we all include the postseason when we're talking about Super Bowls and everything else. So I hate the fact that we're like, oh, it's a 600 touchdown. Yeah, in the regular season. Like, there should be an asterisk next to it because the guy did it a while ago. Like, he's already done this.
Yeesh.
God, it bothers me every time.
I know.
I'm bothered because my old brother is bothered. How about that?
Yeah, listen.
Let's go find the real 600.
Yeah, that's reason enough. Yeah, when was his actual 600 touchdown? Let's find it.
That should be the movie. That's the documentary. The real 600.
Well, so the reality is now, if you look up, like, he's got 600, what, two touchdown passes now? That's just in the regular season, right? That's not even playoff passing, which I'm trying to figure out how I can find that real quick.
Yeah, we got to, let's do an investigation, and tomorrow we will unveil the true 600th touchdown pass recipient for Tom Brady.
Like, that's how we will do that right now.
I mean, listen, it's going to be Julian Edelman or Rob Gronkowski. I mean,
he's thrown 83 touchdown passes in the postseason. So think about that. He's now got technically 685, yet y'all be celebrating this 601 this past week. He did that a while ago, okay?
Kind of funny.
He's
almost at 700, but is everyone going to celebrate that? No, of course. Of course not.
Unbelievable. What else we got, Lee?
You guys, during the Ravens-Bengals game, the Baltimore radio broadcast got interrupted for a short second as a rowdy fan tried to climb into the booth looking for a drink.
I mean,
he was like, no, what are you doing?
She, by the way.
It was a lady trying to climb.
It was a female fan, yes.
All I know is the dude calling the game. He was like, no, what? Wait, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah, they were a little panicked.
It was kind of funny.
Hey, Brady, let me ask you. Back in your calling, are you going to be calling games for Fox this year, later on in the season? Are we doing that this year?
We'll see what the expanded NFL schedule is. We'll see what comes. I still don't know yet. Usually that's like a week or two out, they tell me. So.
All right, so you're in the booth, and somebody climbs in trying to get a drink. What's the move?
Chopper style.
I'll just be like, I'll just say, shh, okay. We're almost to a break. I'll walk with you to the bar, okay? We'll go down to the club level. We'll get you hooked up. Just shh right now, okay? Shh.
See, yeah. I thought you would have, like, stepped on their face. Fingers to, like, let them drop out of the press
box. That'd
be
like bad Santa.
No. Yeah.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.